Good morning and welcome, everyone.
Live Dharma Sunday for June 7th, 2015. Koyo Kobose here. So very glad you joined us. Well, we have a lot of things to do, everybody. Everyone always has a lot of things to do. Sometimes we have a to-do list. And sometimes that could be a source of stress because we feel we're too busy. Sometimes we have the attitude of we want to get something done, and we get frustrated that we cannot do it in the most efficient way, or we're getting impatient. And I think that this is what we would call the means end situation. My father used to say, means equals end. Now, in our results, goal-oriented society, the whole emphasis is put on achieving the goal and the end result. And sometimes we don't enjoy the process. We're stressed out, impatient, and do whatever we need to do to get to the end. And this is the same means equals end. It's sort of like the same saying of life is a journey, not a destination. Why don't we enjoy ourselves? I was thinking about this because I've got some things to do on my mental list, and I'm in no particular hurry to do them. Now, there are different kinds of items on the to-do list. Some are, well, got to do these things today, or some things do have a deadline that's not just of my own making, and we have to deal with these things. But some other things are things that I would like to do, but there's nothing driving the schedule. For example, I have some long-term projects in mind. Such as landscaping project around the Sierra Sanctuary. Now, that's a pretty big project, and I don't know how to do it. What's the best thing? I have no idea what to do about that. So I've got to learn, do a little research, and talk to people. Now, I could just hire a landscape architect or designer and have them do it. But this is the kind of project where I think to myself, yeah, I could, why shouldn't I do it myself? There's a lot of latitude about what might look good. Right here, I might make a little rock garden in this little corner. I don't know anything about rock gardens. Okay. It looks simple, but it's probably pretty complex. And you don't want to just throw something together and then, you want to know a little bit what you're doing. And then the overall area, well, when you start to learn a little bit, you say, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I got to design it like this. And imagine it and think like, that's all the real creative, real work there, once you have all that design in mind. Uh, Part of it might be I was thinking having a fence on a certain part near, well, if you're familiar with what the sanctuary building looks like and where it's situated, I was thinking of a fence between the building and the garden area. A wooden fence, and I call it a Japanese design fence. I have a particular aesthetic feel for what I want it to look like. I've seen some fences in different places, and I said, yeah, I like that, I like that. No, this one I don't particularly care for. No, I don't care. And I know that there's one fence I saw in the Undumbara Zen Center in Evanston, Illinois. I was a visitor there several times, and I know the owners, the husband of the leader there, he's a woodworker, and he built the fence. There, it's nice looking. I don't know what goes in, you know, what are the factors and everything, but when I see different fences, I say, yeah, I know what, you know. You see something you like, and then you see, and then you see several that you like, and you could put together your own design. And just take your time and build each section. Okay. I think I can handle it. Take some post holes, put in the posts, and get the wood and everything, you know. Then there's another project, my labyrinth. I might have mentioned this before, but this was a bigger project than I thought. I had to take a break from it because other priorities came in the way, but I'm not in any hurry. Nothing is driving it, so. And I'm looking forward to completing it. I think once it's completed, it'll be really nice. And so that's also there as part of the building up and developing our whole Bright Dawn Center property. And there's something about having projects in the queue or in the hopper that's something to look forward to, I guess. You know, and you don't have to be driven and saying, "Well, I gotta get hurry. Well, I gotta hurry up," you know, or whip yourself because you're procrastinating and all this stuff. This is something to think about in other areas too. Means equals end. Like it's a journey. It's the process. Don't get hung up on this and that transfer this kind of situation to other situations, not just finishing a physical task, but the role of our mental sets and attitude and how we approach action plans that we might have. Well, our guest to give us a Dharma glimpse is very good at action plans. Her name is Charlene Soyo. Lives in Chicago. She was part of the LM4 group. Soyo is her Dharma name that I gave. And Soyo, of course, is the sun. The So I gave her is a creative. So Soyo means creative sun. She's very creative in her activities. She has different projects in terms of sharing the Dharma teachings. You know, workshops and things like this, illustrations, examples, and very creative mind. Very creativity in life is tremendous positive thing, you know, to create something. It's not ego-driven. It's just a self-actualization of fulfillment. The artist's life, you know, artists of life. And there's an artistry in sharing the Dharma. There's an artistry in, when we say artist of life, we mean one's spiritual journey. Huh? Having beginner's mind. Huh? That's a tremendous thing. Well, let's hear what Shirlene Soil has to share with us today.
Learned ignorance is what deluded people choose to cling to, as if it were a life raft rather than an anchor dragging them down into the hell of samsara. Things about being polite or politically correct or doing what you're told or following the status quo. All of these habits are learned ignorance, ego-driven, mindless behavior, excuses for inaction, justification for talking rather than walking the truth path. There are so few people I encounter who are genuine, sincere, and connected to the truth inside. Neither arrogant nor anxious, neither belligerent nor catering. Whether I encounter them at Buddhist temples or in the lay ministry program or at the grocery store or at work, at introspection classes, or within my own family, right now, 2015, 99% of people prefer to talk about the truth rather than live truthfully. Upon hearing this, did you look inside to see how you are living or react angrily and point your finger at me or other people? Sincere people walking the truth path look within. Selfish, ego-driven people dwell in denial and point fingers outward. Now you know what you are. Spiritual freedom is a choice, requiring daily care and effort. This is an internal matter that has external impact. Sincerity or selfishness impacts everyone. Sincerity supports truth. Selfishness enables spiritual sickness. Learned ignorance, mindlessness, greed, ego, anger, hatred. The TV show Little House on the Prairie once had an episode where Laura Ingalls felt bad when a town bully made fun of her dad for cleaning up after horses. Her dad lovingly helped her understand the difference between sincerity and selfishness. Using the information, the love her dad shared, Laura figured out her own direction and how to express her love. The next time the bully tried to spew her spiritual sickness, Laura punched her. Remembering this episode, I looked at my own experiences. Already this year, I've punched my siblings for being selfish assholes. I've punched a coworker who thought saying thank you was the same as being thankful. I've punched an idiot who thought he could pretend talking and thinking and repeating words of Buddhism was the same as living it. I've punched a waitress who thought she could behave carelessly, mindlessly, while serving us. I've punched a woman who's known me since I was born, who when I told her about mom dying, with all those years of religious pretensions she has, could only focus on her own ego fears of her own impending death. I've punched my yoga sensei for treating mindful, sincere people the same or worse than mindless, insincere people. I've punched three jerks who thought they could talk as if they were out to dinner while we were watching a movie at the theater. Any thoughts you have to judge me rather than look within brand you a coward. Any defensive thoughts or protestations you make about being a good person while doing nothing brand you an idiot and a coward. Any thoughts or excuses you make about just following orders or doing what you're told or blindly following the letter of the teachings while missing the spirit of the teachings brand you a drone and a coward. Gandhi said, "It's easy to stand in the crowd, but it takes courage to stand alone. Fearlessness is the first requisite of spirituality. Cowards can never be moral." I do embrace the teachings and know what the Buddha says to be true, that each person has to choose for themselves whether to follow truth or poison. There is no telling someone else how to live their lives, because this path is about self-awareness. Laura Ingalls never told the other girl how to be. She told her, if you behave like a jerk, every time you stick your nose up at me, it's going to get punched. Like the Buddha, like Laura Ingalls, I know my direction and will follow it with clarity and courage. I have only one question for anyone crossing my path. Are you choosing to stand up for truth or someone who is going to get, and that's that.
Okay. You know, as I listened, sort of like if you get, I recall there was a time when it was a workshop seminar, and one person asked the speaker something about social action or, you know, social values, a social issue position, I guess. And I remember the speaker was not too charitable toward the questioner. He said, why are you wondering about these social values? Why aren't you concerned about your social values, the way you, what you want to do about it, rather than, well, what do you think is the best position, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Now, there are many variations of this. One way is like in the Doksan, which is the private interview in the Zen tradition, working on koans or mental puzzles that are given to the student, and they go into the they have to respond to the Zen master with some kind of an answer. And let's say it's a very common, what is the sound of one hand clapping. Now, if you go in and you say something like, well, this is a comment about non-duality, and bam, you're out of there. Huh? And the teacher will say, you know, we're not talking about philosophy here. We're talking about your life. That's what this is all about. Okay? And in Bright Dawn Center and our lay ministry curriculum and program and approach, we try to keep this in mind. And the students learn right away that you have to, that the emphasis is on not expounding reports, whether written or verbal, not to expound upon scholarly exposition of the teachings, but how do they apply to oneself? And it's interesting because I've been at, again, small group discussions. And I remember I heard the one, I guess he would be called, the topic came up and he said, this person said, I don't want to hear about other people's experiences in their spiritual journey. Okay, I want to hear about, discussion on Dharma teachings. I don't want to hear about my own personal growth. If I have a psychological problem, my wife is a therapist. I can go to her for that. I want to learn about Buddhism, the Dharma teachings. Now, you see, that's another position. Well, if you go to two extremes, too much of one extreme, yeah, it's always going to be distorted, misinterpreted, misused, okay, and not be optimal. One where you get hung up on personal psychological things, and you want to use the Dharma for boosting up your ego in the name of those things, that's just on the other end of too scholarly, too abstract. For example, another example just came to my mind. Supposing you go see a movie with your friend. You come out of the movie. There are different ways or different discussions that could take place between the two friends as they come out of this movie. But say it was a movie that had a lot of depth there and a lot of teachings in there about life. And one of them one person could say, could talk about the craft of movie making, or, oh, the plot like this and that and this, okay? And this would be equivalent to the academic scholarly approach. Now, the other person could say, gee, when I saw this depicted, I saw myself, and use the movie as a means to learn personal lessons, okay? Which I think is great. But if you take that, but if that's done in a way in which the person, that person says things like, objectifies his own inner growth as a topic, objectifies it, uses it in a way in which he says, and then see how great I am. He doesn't, not consciously, okay? See how great I am, that I am so insightful and clever at making this work to shine a light on my psychological, spiritual growth processes. So that's where that difference between self-awareness is really reflecting authentic sincerity versus it hiding a hidden core of selfishness and ego-centeredness. This is a tremendous topic. And sometimes being punched is the only way for certain, it's appropriate in certain times to be punched, okay, quotation marks, of course. Or sometimes you might check out the word shakubuku. Is it shakubuku or shakabuku? Shakubuka. Shakubuku. I'm pretty sure that's the word. Shakubuku. And I mentioned this before, but this was first time I heard this word was several years ago when I happened to be watching the movie Gross Point Blank with John Cusack and Minnie Driver. And she says this word to him. She says, you need shakubuku. And he says, what's that? And she said, that's when you get kicked in the ass and it changes your life forever. Because he was a cocky guy. And their relationship wasn't going to go anywhere until it became an authentic thing and not, you know, I'm cool and you should like me and, interpersonal relationships kind of a situation as applied to that topic of interpersonal relationships. So I looked up that word. And it's a Buddhist word, but it wasn't mentioned in that context in the movie at all. And I said, hey, man, sometimes Hollywood's okay. I don't know who the writer was. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you have a very beautiful Shakubuku day.